Have you ever wondered if your company is maximizing the return of your data investment? Are you collecting the right data required to make informed decisions? Is there more that can be learned from our data? Coyus Institute can answer these questions and help you discover the hidden value within your data sets by utilizing a well-rounded approach to data analysis. Stop leaving value behind and start increasing the return on your data investment. The next generation of data analysis has begun. We are pioneers in pattern discovery. We are Coyus Institute.
So my name is Nick Cook, and for about 15 years, I was the aviation editor of Jane's Defence Weekly. And that job and role gave me a pretty privileged view on the whole aerospace and defence sector, in which I'd been interested for many years anyway. So in around 1990, I decided that using sort of this rarefied, privileged position of mine, which enabled me to go and talk to just about anyone in the aerospace and defence industry, that I would research the industry's what I considered to be its greatest secret, which in my field, being a technologist, I thought would probably be in the area of propulsion in the aerospace field and or energy. After 10 years of research, going about my day job at the same time, I produced a book called The Hunt for Zero Point, which effectively looked at anti-gravity as that technological breakthrough. And it sort of postulated whether the US government in particular had been able to break through into an area of propulsion that would give it an aerospace vehicle that looked a lot like a UFO. It was not a book about UFOs. It was very much a book about the technology that would give rise terrestrially to what we commonly discuss and talk about as a UFO. So for all the time I was at Jane's Defence Weekly, which was from 1986 to 2005 as the aerospace slash aviation editor, it was pretty much impossible for me to talk about UFOs without losing my job. It was that taboo. However, having said that, I was quite heavily vested in investigating so-called black programs, very secret technological special access programs that the US government had been engaged in. Classic examples being the F-117 stealth fighter, kind of the B-2 bomber, though that was acknowledged, and a few others. So I had some experience of investigating those sort of SAP-type programs. Having said that, it remained taboo to talk about anything related to the UFO field. Note that when I wrote The Hunt for Zero Point, it was deliberately targeted at the portion of, quotes, UFO sightings that could be explained by terrestrial technology. So, but in 2017, that all changed. I mean, I had gone on to do other things, so I really wasn't that interested in the whole UFO subject anyway, really. But in 2017, I was so intrigued by the way the New York Times had covered the whole Tic Tac sighting and various other reports filed by the US Navy and others about UFO sightings that it suddenly, to my mind at least, became legitimate to be able to talk about this professionally. So, and I've also found that that other professionals who would previously have been reluctant to talk about this subject were engaged in it as well. So the whole 2017 shift, in my view, has been absolutely fundamental. We definitely should be happy that the US government is talking about modern-day UFO events. Obviously, we've had the US Navy shift, and that was fundamental in allowing this conversation to proceed. The US Air Force has openly been investigating UFOs more or less since the modern era of sightings in sort of 1947-ish onwards, particularly through Project Blue Book, which folded in 1969. So to say that there had only been a more recent sightings database to acknowledge in the ODNI report is disingenuous, to say the least. And the fact that the US Air Force, which is charged with defending US airspace, was so noticeably absent in the ODNI report is again deeply suspicious, in my view, although I understand it, because the sightings database from, well, actually from 1945 onwards, is one of very close linkage to nuclear weapons activity. So understandably, with a number of interventions, to my mind, well-documented interventions having been made in the nuclear sphere, it is unsurprising that the ODNI report, and particularly the absence of any US Air Force presence in the ODNI report, is there. And it's there, or rather, it's not there, because the intervention aspect in nuclear technology and nuclear secrets is one that no one in their right mind would want to acknowledge, at least from a national security point of view. I think on the one hand, it's being stimulated because it is impossible to cover up anymore. Once you have the US Navy saying that it is encountering things in the sky that it cannot explain, and that it is encountering them relentlessly, which it clearly has been, that is a very difficult conversation, even within the military, to keep quiet. So that's one thing. But there are other aspects to this conversation as well. And I don't think we should ever forget that being a very multi-layered phenomenon, that we should not accept what we are being told at face value. There are many good reasons, as I've covered in the past, both in writing and in documentary form, why the US government or any other government would want to hide stuff behind the UFO phenomenon. And it clearly has done that. We know from the 50s and 60s onwards that the CIA in particular was keen to hide aerospace developments like the U-2 spy plane and the A-12 spy plane, the SR-71, behind the UFO phenomenon. And just because things have become a little bit more open now, there's no reason to suppose that that obfuscation and that hiding of tech behind the UFO phenomenon should cease. So I think we need to be careful. Well, I'm pleased that the phenomenon is being openly addressed and talked about through the active intervention of the US Congress. I think this is a very healthy step. I hope that it will lead to more transparency. There's obviously going to be a question about, you know, can we handle the truth? I think we can handle the truth, but the truth is pretty multi-layered. And it may be that we can't handle the whole truth to begin with, but only certain aspects of it. So I suspect that this will be a gradual pulling back of the veil. I don't think that that's going to be a sort of deliberate thing. I don't believe in disclosure with a capital D anyway. I think that disclosure is happening, whether government entities like it or not. I think it's a natural process, rather than a process that is engineered by any particular government entities. So all of this is happening, whether people would like it or not, and it will come, I think, in a process of sort of unveiling at a time when we become acclimatized to the different layers of secrecy and knowledge that come with this. As time goes on. Well, I'm a former journalist, so I do understand why the media doesn't cover this in the depth that ufology would like it to. these are for natural reasons, I think, for the most part. The one that, you know, I know all about it because I took an active decision during the writing and research period of the Hunt for Zero Point that I would take things incredibly cautiously on this subject. You do that, I think, out of a sense of sort of professional due diligence. I did not want to open myself up to the scrutiny of my peers during the 1990s particularly, because they were not in a position to accept any of this stuff. Looking around, I still don't think they're in a particular good place to openly accept it. Although amongst my peers, that is peers within the trade industry press, particularly in the aerospace and defense field, there is the beginnings of a conversation, but it is a slow conversation and it is not happening at the pace that most people would like, but that's life. And I don't see any huge particular conspiracy in the media not discussing it. I mean, one of the reasons it wouldn't want to discuss it is that it is so utterly bizarre, and it is much easier to put these things on the side rather than to confront them directly. So I get that. It's human nature and understandable. I think this conversation will evolve naturally. Indeed, it is evolving naturally, and it's taking place in all the places where we would expect to see it, most notably in social media, not particularly, as we've discussed, in the traditional media, but there are pockets where obviously it is being discussed in the wider media. Where would I like it to go? Well, I would like it, obviously, to be acknowledged and discussed as openly as possible. But as per my previous answer, I think that it will evolve at the pace that it is meant to evolve in. And if that leaves some people feeling frustrated at that pace, I think that's unfortunate, but it's life. So we just have to accept that. And for those who are involved in the subject, continue to plug away and dig away at it. And there's plenty to get one's teeth into. Well, I'm not overly familiar with the Wilson leaks, but I'm familiar with them enough to believe that they are genuine. I think that the events as depicted in the Wilson leak documents are on a general level accurate. I mean, you know, I've read a lot of documentation in my journalistic career, and you sort of get the whiff of what is genuine and what isn't. And the Wilson leak documents come over pretty genuinely to me. There's another dimension to it as well, which is I know quite a few of the people involved in those purported discussions. And I don't think any of them would make it up. Now, whether somebody else has made it up and come up with that document is a different question. But I haven't delved into it deeply enough to know whether the sort of the documentation evidence itself is strong enough to say it's genuine or not. But my feeling is that the document or the discussion as it unfolds in those documents is probably based on real events. Well, obviously, I wrote an entire book in The Hunt for Zero Point that was about the development of breakthrough technologies that would commonly be mistaken or associated with those to do with UFOs. Extraordinary technologies, extraordinary breakthroughs. When I wrote the book, I did not for a moment want to belittle how tough that challenge was or is. There was evidence, as I uncovered it in that book, in my book, that the US government in particular had been trying to break through for many, many years. The whole book started, in fact, with revelations from traditional aerospace companies that they were extremely interested in anti-gravity technology from the sort of the 1950s onwards. I've come to believe since, and particularly recently, that aerospace vehicle or vehicles that one might describe as extraterrestrial, whatever that actually means, have crashed to Earth and have been recovered. And obviously, because of the secrecy component attached to them, that fact has been held behind layers or levels of secrecy that are unprecedented, even among some of the technology developments that I've handled in my career as a journalist, or I've examined in my career as a journalist. So I think the evidence, whilst circumstantial for the most part, and perhaps tangential in others, I still think that the evidence is pretty overwhelming. And if you strip away some of the more outlandish conspiracy stuff, it is fairly consistent. So in my view, yeah, I think vehicles have been recovered, and I think that they are held in great secrecy by governments. And I'm not just saying the US government here. I think other governments possibly have them too. Well, this will overlap slightly with the answer I just gave, but having said that, I think that vehicles have crashed and been retrieved. I don't think that's the same thing as saying that breakthroughs have been made in understanding how they work. I think given the highly advanced nature of the performance of some of these vehicles that come down to us through observation, testimony, that learning how to master them, even though we consider ourselves to be pretty technologically advanced now as a species, is not going to be straightforward at all. I think that the challenges associated with understanding, let alone reverse engineering, some of these technological breakthroughs are immense. On a scale far larger, I think, than the breakthrough physics required, for example, to develop the atomic bomb. So even if some of these vehicles had crashed when people say they had, which was a great many years ago, let's say from 1947 onwards, it is by no means a certainty that they would have been understood technologically, and those technological skills and developments mastered by now. So we should probably wait and see if anyone reveals anything on that. I think that that is going to be unlikely, and I think it'll only come about through duress and or through leaks. And as I've said in a previous answer, I think that there are many veils that are drawn over this subject, deliberately and accidentally, that make our penetration of those secrets an extremely difficult challenge to undertake.